is up in Indiana preaching this morning. And Brother and Sister Roberts are down in Murfreesboro with Lisa. They're having youth meetings down there. And Brother Gene is sick. He got sick with something from his last trip, so he asked for us to remember him in prayer this morning. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, dear God, for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Lord, we ask, Lord, for these different ones that are not here this morning, Lord. You know where they are, Lord, and I pray you'll bless them, dear God, accordingly, Lord. And I pray, dear God, for Brother Gene, Lord, that you would touch him and heal him, dear God. Lord, that he may be able to come back here again and be in your presence with us, Lord. We pray for Brother Leo, Lord, that you would touch him, dear God. Raise him back up, dear God. And Sister Doris, give her strength, Lord. Lord, we ask these things, Lord, in your name. And we ask, dear God, that you be with us, Lord, as we bring the word this morning, dear God, of the subject that you've laid on our heart, that, Lord, that I've had notes on for some time now and have been working on them, Lord. And you know, Father, what is your mind. And I pray you'll help me, dear God, to be in tune with the Holy Spirit this morning, to be able to speak and help the people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn with me into Philippians chapter 2. I want to start reading at verse 5. And what I want to title this message this morning is Evaluate Your Character. Evaluate your character. No one else, it ain't up to nobody else to evaluate your character. You've got to evaluate your character. And the way you evaluate it is by the word. See if it lines up with the word. And, you know, we can preach things and say things, but unless you will identify with the word that's being preached, it won't do you no good. It won't help you. And so when the Holy Spirit seems to be stepping on some area that you know that you've got a problem in, then just say, woe is me, Lord. That's me. Help me, God. And just take ownership of it. And don't pass the buck on to somebody else. So let's evaluate our characters this morning. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. A lot of times we're sons of God with rebuke. But we're working toward becoming perfect. Amen. And that's by the word working in us. That's by God working in us to both do his will and his good pleasure. That we may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You may be seated. Now, Thirst for Life, 1959, Brother Branham said, life molds your character. The Bible uses the word experience in a place of character. I'll show that later on in the scripture. So your experiences is what's going to mold you into what you are. There is people that their life was a certain way growing up, and that molded them one way or the other. If it was a, and the thing about it is, nature versus nurture. Now, you can put something in the right atmosphere, but if it's got a nature of a John Dillinger, then that's what's going to come out. I don't care how much nurture you give it. If it's got a nature of Esau, I don't care how many church services they sit in, they're going to be an Esau because that's their nature. So you can nurture all you want, do what you think is good and helpful for them, but if their nature is of something else, that's going to come through. It then goes on the other side where Brother Branham said that a child could be born to the most two of the most sinful people in the world, and that child be a son of God. Because that its nature that it received was a nature from heaven. It was born with that nature down inside. Now, it got a human nature from its parents, who were the two of the horriblest sinners that walked the face of the earth. It got a human nature there. But when it's born again, that nature that was on the inside of it when it came into this world comes to life. And that's the nature of God. And that nature of God, it doesn't matter that it's not getting nourished right. It doesn't matter if it's in a home with sinners. That nature's going to push forth to become what it is. If it's a son of God, it'll be a son of God. It doesn't matter if daddy's a drunkard. It's not going to be a drunkard. It's going to be a son of God. You want proof? Look at Brother Branham's life. His daddy made moonshine and ran it. And from out of there came a prophet to the age. Amen. So it has a lot to do with what nature of that you have on the inside of you. Cain had the nature of the evil one, the wicked one. And that nature showed forth. Now, he was being nourished under Adam and Eve, and he was being nourished to worship God, and he went forth to worship God. But when he got there, see, he didn't have a revelation of what God wanted. And when he saw that God accepted Abel's sacrifice and rejected his, jealousy rose up, see. It was in his nature. And what did he do? He murdered his brother. Why? Because the nature of a murderer was in him. So it didn't matter how good Adam and Eve was, in him was the nature of a murderer. Because his spiritual father was the devil. His natural father was the serpent. But his spiritual father was the devil. And that's where you get your nature from. Who's your spiritual father? Now, life molds character. Think about if all you had was life to mold your character. that there was nothing to be born again. And if the only life was there to mold the character, if that person come up through a rough life, they'd be a rough person. If everything was knocked down and dragged out, that's what they'd be. If their daddy was Jesse James, they'd follow in his shoes. If all they had was life to mold their character. But there's something else besides just life. Life does mold our character. It does, our experiences we go through does affect our character. But there's something else that a Christian has that molds his character, and that is the mind of Christ. Your mind, the mind that you have, molds your character. Yes. Brother Branham said that in the Message Identification, 1963. He said, we're invited to mold our character into the image of God by letting the mind of Christ be in us. We're invited by God to take Him as an example and let our character be molded like His. His character be in us that we have. Then we have become sons by having the mind of Christ, which is His character. His mind is His character. Your mind makes your character. It molds the character of a son of God. Brother Branham says, what you read molds your character. What you read, we can go even beyond that. What you watch, what you look at, what you read molds your character, he said. He said, Abraham Lincoln was the greatest president, to his opinion, that we ever had. And he said, Abraham Lincoln had two books, the Bible and Pilgrim's Progress. And he said from those two books, he read that if you did wrong, you paid for it. And if you did right, God would honor it. And he said that molded him into what he was and why they called him Honest Abe. Because it molded him into an honest person. Your works proves what your character is. Whatever your character is, it's going to come out. People say, oh, God's not looking at the outside. He's only looking on the inside. But if whatever's on the inside is going to be displayed on the outside. Right. On the inside of John Dillinger was a murderer. And that displayed on the outside. On the inside of John Dillinger was the same nature Cain had. And it displayed on the outside what his character was. Rob banks and murder people. Life molds your character. Brother Branham said John Dillinger was a neurotic. He said when he was a baby, he would cry in the crib and his mom would let him lay there and cry. And it turned him into a neurotic. Life molded. Had a hand in molding his character. What you do with your babies has a hand in molding their character, even as babies. As children, if they tell you no and you let them buy with it, Oh my goodness, what you're molding is going to be horrible when it hits 30. You got to train up a child in the way it should go. You don't say nothing about training up an old man. It says train up a child. You got to start with the children. And that's why when you see a man or a woman that has been brought up in sin and lived a life of sin and all they've ever known is sin, but yet there's a seed of God inside them and they come to God, God's got to knock them down in the dirt and make them start all over again so he can mold them like you would a child. And they're going to make mistakes. But God's going to mold them. And they'll pay for their mistakes. And they'll wobble. And God will have to straighten them back up. And I want you to know something. God doesn't come down in the body of Jesus Christ to do that. He comes down in the body of your preachers and helps you get straightened back up. And when a child needs a spanking, God comes down into the body of the pastor and brings a spanking. And if you're a son or daughter of God, you'll be able to take correction, the Bible says. And it says if you can't take correction, then you're a bastard and not a son. Your works tells what's on the inside of you. I've had women say to me, God's not looking at what I wear. He's only looking at what's on the inside. Then I ask you about the prostitutes on the street. If God ain't looking at the outside and they say, well, I believe in God, wouldn't that be good enough? No, the reason they're a prostitute is because what's on the inside's coming out. Now, that inside could be a human nature they were born with and because of certain things that affected them in life. But if there's a seed of God down on the inside of that prostitute, she's going to come to life one day, and then it'll display a different nature, and it'll begin to display a different character. That's what's so miraculous about being born again. Hallelujah. Your character and your conduct must be molded to be Christ-like. We sing that song, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like him. Well, on earth he was considered a renegade. On earth he was an outcast. On earth he humbled himself in the face of his enemies. He humbled himself in the face of his accusers. Those that whipped him, he humbled himself to it. Can you do it, Brother Jerry? I'll tell you what, friends. This flesh says no, no, no. Just like your flesh does. Because we're not living in a redeemed flesh yet. We're living in a body of sin. And this body likes comfort. This body likes things to be easy. And so people that are only dependent on human nature, when the time of the tribulation comes, they will readily take the mark of the beast. Many have already taken it. Why? Because as humans, they want the easy way. the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Son is born into a family, as it was back in the East, the Father would put a man over that son, a tutor, a teacher, to instruct that son in all the ways of the Father. And it was to teach him. And when he did wrong, it was someone to tell him, you're doing that wrong. Someone to correct him and bring him back. And when God brought his sons and daughters into the world, he gave him the best tutor he could find. And that was his own spirit, the Holy Spirit. And when a man is born again, he receives the Holy Ghost, then he has an inner teacher. And that inner teacher begins to mold the character that's in you. When you do something that's wrong, tell the tax man, I'm not in here. Then the Holy Spirit says, you're going to have to make that right. That was a lie. If he did it to the prophet, he'll do it to us. Now, here's one thing about the tutor. The tutor would report back to the father from time to time and tell about the conduct of the son. Now, if the father got a tutor that was sympathetic with the son, if he got a tutor that would kind of fudge it a little bit to try to make the son not look so bad. But God didn't give us that kind of a tutor. God gave us the Holy Spirit. And the prophet said the Holy Spirit will not lie to God about you. He'll not lie to the Father about you. He'll tell the Father he's being disobedient. He's worldly minded. You say, wait a minute. How could that be and have the Holy Ghost? Because your brain didn't get it. That ain't the mind. The mind's in the heart. We've got to have the Holy Ghost in the control room. He ain't just in our head. He's in our heart. The control room. And controls what's going on. But see, like Brother Ram said, you can't stop the birds from flying over, but you don't got to let them nest. And he was talking about thoughts when he said that. That Satan has access to your human spirit. Your conscious, your reasoning, your imagination, your memory, and affection. And so he can pass thoughts through your head. And that's why I said, you don't have to say everything that comes through your head. It might not be the right thing to say. It might get you in trouble. But the Holy Spirit in the control room controls all of that. Thought comes in that's not the thought of God into your brain. The Holy Spirit will say, wait a minute, get out of here. That ain't me. That ain't this son. That's you, devil. Whatever nature you've got on the inside of you, whatever spirit you got on the inside of you is going to show. If a person's got the Holy Spirit, then it's going to show up on the outside. It's going to show up in their conduct. It's going to show up in how they dress. It's going to show up in how they act. It's going to show up in how they talk. Right. If your character's wrong, Holy Spirit's going to tell the Father. And the Father's going to send what you need to correct your character. Now, right now in your life that you live here on this earth, however many years you're allotted, is the time of your character molding. When the word comes forth and what's being said doesn't seem to agree with you, but if it's backed up by the word, then friends, you need to line up with it. It ain't just God speaking when it agrees with you. Because the Bible says that our mind is not like God's mind. Our thoughts are not his thoughts. So there's a lot of times what God's saying ain't going to agree with this flesh. This flesh doesn't like getting singed. This flesh doesn't like getting whipped. I remember when my brother was little, Mom and Dad had flower beds out around their porch. And my brother took a baseball bat out there and he was knocking the heads off the flowers. And Dad saw him out the window and he came out there with his belt and he said, "When are you going to start minding me?" And Samuel looked at him and saw that belt and said, "Right now, Daddy." "Right now, I'm going to start minding you." He didn't want to get that whipping. We don't want to be whooped. And after we get whooped, we ain't happy about it. And the Bible says it's not pleasurable. But it also says it's only for a little season. It only lasts a little while and the sting goes away. And then you say, "I'm not going to do that no more." Hallelujah. A man, Brother Branham said, is not measured by his muscles. He's not measured by how neat his hair is. You don't pick out somebody to marry by how good they smell or how good their hair is combed. Or as the one girl said to Brother Branham, "He's got pretty feet. Can you imagine?" And Brother Branham says, "I don't care if he's got feet the size of boxcars. What's his character?" That's what you want. And a man is measured by his character. That's what tells you what kind of a man he is, by his character. There are people you meet in life and they say, "Trust me," and you know right then you can't trust them. Not just because they say, "Trust me," but there's just something about them. Isn't that right, Brother Jim? You run into people, sometimes there's just something about them you know, couldn't trust that person. When I was looking for to buy a double wide, I went to one of the places out here that was selling mobile homes. They're not there anymore, but there was a pretty big place out here in Dixon. And I went in there and I was telling that guy what I wanted. And he was telling me, "Oh, whatever you want, that's exactly what we'll put in there." And I said, "What kind of floors you got?" I said, "I don't want that old particle board." He said, "Oh, we got real good solid wood floors. You know, it's good flooring." And he was showing me inside one of the mobile homes that they had set up. And I went over and pulled the carpet back. And I said, "This looks like particle board." "Oh, yeah, but it's put together with marine-based glue. It'll withstand water." Well, the glue might, but I'm going to tell you what, that particles of wood ain't. And he was just anything I wanted. And I thought, I'd been told this when I was young, when somebody promises you the moon, don't believe them. And I walked out there and said, "I am not buying from this man because he cannot be trusted." See, you can tell sometimes. And you can also tell when a man that you shake his hand and make an agreement on something and you know that man's as good as his word. It's his character that tells you that. A man's measured by his character. Did you know that the painting of the Last Supper, that it took about 10 years for the painter to paint that picture of the Last Supper. And when he first started painting it, he got a man to pose as Jesus. And he posed as Jesus and he painted this man, and that's how he painted Jesus in the picture. And then some 9-10 years later, he was trying to paint Judas, and he was looking for somebody that he could use to model that he could paint Judas. And this man who had modeled for Jesus had went through 10 years of a sinful life and came back 10 years later and posed for Judas. And Brother Branham said, see what 10 years of sin did? It brought him from Jesus to Judas. And said, it don't take 10 years, 10 minutes of sin can change a person. Man's measured by his character. Moses. Was in the minority in his day. Jesus was in the minority. Noah was in the minority. Brother Ram said, the only way you'd ever know he wasn't crazy is for the same God to reveal to you the same thing he had revealed to Moses. If the same God didn't reveal to you the same thing he revealed to William Branham, you would think he was crazy. You would think he was just some leader of a cult that men were following. That's why people are leaving the message. They've never had a revelation of it. That's why they're writing things on the internet against Brother Branham. Why? Because they never had a revelation of who he was and what he was sent here for. And so what they do is they sit there and pick the man, the human part. They pick that human being apart, the human side. I've been around people like that. They want to sit around and pick on the human side of Jerry Browning, see if they can find some fault somewhere. The reason they do that, because then they can say, we don't got to listen to what he says. But I'm here to tell you, there isn't a man on this earth that hasn't made mistakes. Jesus Christ was the only one that was mistake free. He said he was made in the likeness of man. It said he knew like passions of man. It said he was tempted in every way such as known to man, yet without sin. He was perfect. And to paint him up as anything other than perfect is wrong. But Brother Branham wasn't perfect. And that's what these people out here that's got stuff on the internet, that's what they're picking at. They're picking at trying to find flaws so that they can say, see, ain't nothing to that. It's okay for me to do whatever I want. I'm still a Christian. Doesn't matter what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham was wrong on a lot of points. He contradicted himself a lot of times. That's what they say. And Brother Branham was a man, he grew in revelation just like you and I do. When he first started out in his ministry, Brother Branham placed the spirit as the third most inner part.
Yes.
And up until the seals opened, that's the way Brother Branham preached it. That's how he preached it when he preached Greatest Battle Ever Fought. But after the seals were open, Brother Branham placed the soul as the innermost part and showed that that second part, that second realm, was the spirit that had the five gates, conscious reasoning, imagination, memory, and affections, and that Satan could have access to that, but Satan couldn't do a thing with that soul, because that soul is the control room where the Holy Spirit resides and controls and molds the character. Friends, your character's not this flesh. This, in this flesh, you make mistakes. This flesh is not your character. The character is what corrects this flesh. The character is the part of you that says, oh Lord, you showed that to me, I'm going to make that right. I'm going to go back and tell that different. Our character's got to be molded into the image of God. The expressed, we are to be the expressed image of God here on earth now. Ye are the light of the world. You are a city that's set up high on a hill. Amen? Now, let's get to evaluating our character a little bit. In our, with our present character, we need to look at what our present character is as a Christian to know how we would be, to identify with another character in the Bible and know how we would be had we been back in that time. If we were back in the days of Noah, would we be on the side of the critics? Would we be criticizing Noah, Pastor Noah? I'll tell you what I think. I think Pastor Noah ought to trim up his beard a little bit more. I don't think he should have a beard. Flesh, 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 flesh. That's all they're looking at. Well, I think he should preach like this, or I think he should preach like that. Noah, won't you quit all this talk about destruction and stuff and just preach sweet Jesus. You know, when you talk about the world being flooded and being destroyed, and that scares me. Would we be on that side? Or would we be on Noah's side? How we are now shows how we would be then. If we're criticizing the pastor now and having doubts about the pastor now, we'd be having our doubts and criticizing him then. How about in the days of Elijah and Jezebel? Which side would you be on? Would you be in the minority? 400 to 1. 400 prophets of Baal to one prophet of Jehovah. Which side would we be on? Would we be out there cutting ourselves and screaming and hollering because we thought our God was on vacation somewhere? Or would we be over there believing? Would we be standing there saying, my goodness, Elijah, what in the world are you pouring all that water on there for? Ain't no way fire's ever going to light. It wasn't no natural fire that he was looking for. See, they were calling on their God to give them a natural fire. And you can't make fire that way. they'd have been better off rubbing two sticks together. But Elijah was calling for a supernatural fire. A fire that didn't matter how wet the sacrifice was, didn't matter how much water was in the trench. It was going to burn the water too, because it was a supernatural fire. What side would we be on? Would we be on old painted up Jezebel's side? What about in the days of Moses and Dathan? See, look where you are today, you'd know where you would be then. Would we want to follow the image that Dathan had created? Let's follow this back to Egypt. I'll take you back to Egypt, where there's spices and garlic and meat to be had. We were better off with the Egyptians. Poor, dumb Dathan. Stupid, the Egyptians had been drowned. All the army of the Egyptians had been drowned. I know in the movie Ten Commandments, it shows Pharaoh, you know, he survived. I don't know whether he did or not. I don't think he did. But I know this. Any Egyptians that were left, and there were some left, but any Egyptians were left wasn't going to be able to help them. They were as bad off as the children of Israel was. They were as poor as could be too. Would we be on the side of Dathan? Or would we be on the side where God says, separate yourself from them? Because I'm going to open up the earth and I'm going to swallow them up. And there'll be no more. Now see, Brother Brown said this. He said, it wasn't Moses' thoughts. It was God's thought. And he said, not everybody had to be Moses. He said, not, let me read exactly how he said, all of them didn't have to be Moses's. Everybody don't have to be the pastor. The people only had to follow what he said. You know, I've seen young men just, I mean, spinning their wheels, wanting to be a preacher, wanting to be a pastor. And they don't know nothing about what goes with it. What the responsibility is, how much is going to be required of them, what they're going to have to give an account for one day. It's not easy. And you can't depend on your own thoughts because I'm just a human like everybody else. I got to look for the leadership of God. What God, how he moves me, what he brings to my attention. That's the way Moses was. Brother Branham said he was riding in a car with Florence Shakarian. He said it was Brother Demas Shakarian's sister. And said there was a couple of other women that were in the car too, and said, one of them said, Brother Branham, I fast and fast and fast and still can't cast out devils. And Brother Branham said, you wasn't born to do that. Your duty is to fast. The Holy Spirit is working on somebody else out there to cast out devils. You're to fast for them. He says this in the same quote where he says not all of them had to be Moses's, but they had to listen to what Moses said. That's what they had to do. God ain't called everybody in the same gift. There's a diversity of gifts that he has in the body. Not everybody has the same thing. And I'll tell you something, friends. The Bible says gifts and callings are without repentance, meaning you are born with it. And if you're born with it, there ain't no getting away from it. You can sell it out. Sell your birthright. Or you can take that gift you got and use it for God. We judge our character by the hour we're living in now. How are we now? What side are we on now? You must know the hour you're living in. Now judge your character with what that is. Or in the days of Christ, I would ask now, when Jesus come on the scene, he was actually a renegade to them. But you see, God identified his own character in him by manifesting that he was God. And they said, "We know Moses." And Jesus said, "If you had known Moses, you would have known me, because he wrote of me." Now, what did Moses write of Jesus? Moses wrote, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet in the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me." In other words, what Moses was saying is, he's going to have the same kind of character. He's going to tell you the truth. Moses, friends, he was a man. He made mistakes. Jesus was the only one that was perfect. Joseph was the closest one. But even he wasn't perfect. But all of them were typing Christ. Why? Because of their character. And that's what Moses was talking about. So where would we be? With Jesus or the Sanhedrin? Your character now that you are, where you would identify yourself in the days of Jesus. They said about Jesus, "Pay no attention to that guy. He's out of his mind." Well, that comes up a lot, doesn't it? Calling him crazy, calling him out of his mind. That just comes up a lot, doesn't it? That spirit ain't changed. That spirit that was there in Jesus' day is still here today. It's still calling Christians crazy. Those that are Christ-like is saying, "Oh, they're crazy." What present character do you have? Something is molding our character. And that's what we need to look at and see what is molding our character. Take a look. And you can see by what your character is. If we're all the time feuding and fussing, friends, we're letting something else affect us. We're letting the devil that's in that spirit realm rule over us when we need to be ruling over that spirit realm. From the heart, from the control room, which is the throne, we need to be reigning from the throne of the heart. And keeping this mind and this body and this spirit, our emotions and our affections and our reasonings and conscience and memory and all those things, we need to be bringing them into line, reigning over them instead of letting them control us. A person that has trouble with temper, they let their emotions control them. That's why they have that problem. It's easy to get emotional. I was in Germany, and when I would come home from work and would park out in front of our apartment and get out of the car and go walking up to the apartment. Why, my kids would know what time I was coming, and they would all run to the windows. And then in front of the windows in Germany, I know y'all maybe seen these before, was them old radiators, heaters. That's what they had. And they had, and my kids would climb up onto that radiator heater and stand on it and look out the window and watch me walk up. And one particular time, Jessica slipped because she had on dress shoes. And she slipped and fell and cracked open her the top of her head. And so my wife took her into the bathroom, was cleaning it up, and she was just sitting there in the bathroom cleaning it up, kind of holding her head, holding pressure on that. I come in, she was just as calm as a cucumber. She said, Jessica fell and cut open her head. We're going to need to take her to the hospital. And she took her hand off, and I said, oh, my goodness. I got emotional. My emotions took the best of me. I panicked. But Mina wasn't letting her emotions take. She was doing what needed to be done. She kept a cool head about it. Knew what we needed to do. Me, I was all flustered. Where are we going to go now? We're going to have to go to the German hospital. The army clinic up there is closed. And I was panicking about that. I'd never been down to the German hospital before. But Mina kept calm, cool. She kept her emotions in check. God has helped me to learn to not live by my emotions, but to kind of get my emotions into check. You should never spank your child when you're angry. And don't stand there and count to 10, because that ain't long enough. Just go cool off about it. Realize that whatever they broke ain't really worth you getting all that upset about it. It can be replaced. Sure, you need to teach them not to break things intentionally, but sometimes accidents happen. Well, I know what I'm talking about. I went to school on this. 4 times. I guess more times than that. Which side would we be on? You know, Jesus said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And there was people standing there and said, what in the world? Why, this man's crazy. Drink his blood and eat his flesh. What in the world is he talking about? That's craziness. I'll tell you what, I've been following him up to now, but now I'm out of here. So Jesus turned to the others and gave them a trial and said, would you go also? Some years ago, we had some people leave the church here on an Easter. Around Easter, they left the church, said they weren't coming back here. They disagreed with what I was doing concerning David. And so they left the church. And I got up and preached the message, will you go also? Well, you didn't. So what side you were on? You wasn't on my side, you was on the side of Jesus. Will you go also? Lord, Peter said, Lord, where can we go? For thou alone hast the words of life. Peter didn't say, no, Lord, I completely understand what you were talking about when you said that about drinking your blood and eating your flesh. I understood what that meant. Peter didn't know what that meant. It didn't make no more sense to him than it made to anybody else. because it had not been revealed to him yet. But Peter knew one thing. If I'm going to get anything revealed to me, it's got to come from God. And the only one that's got words of life is you. Your character identifies you. A lot of people's character is coming out and identifying who they are today. There's been a lot of them that's had their character in the closets. But the prophet of God said, he said, as it was in the days of Sodom, yes, so it will be today. And he says, as it was in the days of Sodom when their character was displayed, it'll be that way today. He says that in the message of God identified by his characteristics, as it was in the days of Sodom. And we see that today. Friends, we've got so many crazy stuff going on out there. We not only got transgenders and homosexuals and lesbians, and then we got binaries or whatever they call it that don't believe they don't identify with either gender. Come on. Crazy young people, and there's some crazy old people. They're saying, well, we need to understand them. That spirit's on them, and it's molding their character and molding their character into do things that the Bible said is not fit to do. Doing things to human flesh that ought not be done, the Bible says. Turn with me into Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. And that word in the Greek is endurance. Tribulations worketh endurance. And patience, or endurance, worketh experience. And in the Greek it says, it defines the word experience as approved, tried character. So endurance worketh character. Experience worketh character. And experience or character worketh hope, which in the Bible is faith. Tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. That's how your character's molded. The trials that you face and go through, I'm going to have to close. I got a lot more notes here, but I'm going to have to close. The trials and things you face, is molding you. The things that God allows you to go through in life is molding your character. Sometimes we don't like some of the things we have to go through, but God allows us to go through them because he's molding us. There was a sister came to me one time after I'd had back surgery. And she said, "Brother, I would like to give a testimony about how God healed my back. But I was afraid to give a testimony about how God healed my back because you had to have surgery." Like as if God didn't heal my back. And I said, "Sister, that has nothing to do with it. You go on and give your testimony." Because you know what, friends? That was an experience I had to go through that was molding me. The things we suffer is molding us. Do we have the endurance to push on through? You don't know how much God talked to me while I lay there recuperating from my back surgery. The things I learned, the compassion that I got. I can tell you this. I've prayed for many people that's had back trouble, and God's come down and healed them. And Brother Branham, I believe it's because, like Brother Branham said, you put yourself in that person's place. And then you can get, he says, that's how you get a hold of God for them. Amen. Let's stand. I've got some really good stuff up here. And things that I spent time on even back in the office where I came out. Things that I was excited about. And I could go on and preach them, but it would be like having a whole nother service. So we'll just save it up. So let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We're thankful, dear God, for your word. We're thankful for you teaching us, Lord. And Lord, there is so much, Lord, that you lay out for us, dear God. Lord, sometimes, God, Lord, I don't know when something's going to be a part one or whatever, Lord. Sometimes it just happens that way, and I get more than what I can put in a little space. And Lord, then you just help us and keep adding to it, dear God, where it just becomes another part to be a help to us and bring out more. Lord, I pray for your people today that you'll bless them, dear God. Lord, help us. We want to be subject to the Holy Spirit and its molding, to be molded into the image of Christ. We want to be molded into the image of God. Lord, as you came down and was made in the likeness of man, that we could be raised up and made in the likeness of you. Lord Jesus, bless your people. Lord, help us. Lord, forgive us of our shortcomings, dear God. Lord, as I've heard the prophet pray so many times, Lord, and help us, Lord, to realize, Lord, that we're in a flesh that, yes, it's going to make mistakes, but that character's being molded to where, Lord, we're going to stop making the same mistakes. We've got to grow. There's got to be a maturing. There's got to be a changing. And all that changing takes place here. After when the resurrection comes, the only thing that's going to change is our body. But the inside's going to be what it is. And that's why the Bible says, when that time comes, let he that's righteous be righteous still. And let he that's filthy be filthy still. Lord God, we want to be righteous. We want you to mold us in your righteousness, dear God. Help us to be obedient to your word, dear Lord. The right character of Christ in our life would be obedient to the word. And Lord, even though we suffer, Lord, we'd be like Christ. And the Bible says that he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. We ask these things all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the glory of God.